I'm going to try to preach out of Genesis 39, but I might preach a while before I get there. The title of this message is GPS Guided Missile. You're a GPS. Is there anybody in here that's saved? One. One raised her hand. Peggy's saved. She's got both hands up. So if you're not saved, don't leave here tonight without being saved. But if you are saved, if you are saved and you are pursuing God's will in your life, you are a GPS guided missile. A global positioned system guided missile. Now let's change that first word. A God positioned system guided missile. God is guiding your life. Have you ever been in a situation in your Christian life that you've looked up and said, how did I get here? How in the world did I get here in this trouble, in this mess, in this place that I thought that I wouldn't be in again? That I thought I would be, I wouldn't be in situations like, I didn't see it that way. I know, I'm not talking about a bed of roses. Like I know Christianity, we always say, Christianity's not a bed of roses, but there's some things you still think, well, man, it's going to be better than that, right? Well, I started thinking about, I'll give you a verse and I'm going to give you about 5 points and then I'm going to see what God does. Amen? Genesis 39:1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Let's break this down this way. Potiphar is a master. The Ishmaelites, Ishmael, you think your problems are going to go away. Sometimes they keep coming back like boomerangs, right? Isaac, Ishmael. Ishmael sells Joseph to Potiphar as a slave. God, you've done everything right. You're doing everything you know that is right. And you have just been sold into slavery. I'm going to give you some thoughts tonight from how did Joseph get here? And I'm going to preach some stuff tonight that almost would say sound heretic, like a heretic. Well, that means heretical. That means teaching something that's crazy. If you had run into me 5 years ago or 8 years ago or 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I'd have probably tell you this is crazy talk. But I've been pulling this Bible apart since I've been saved. And what I can't find is some of the things that I used to say, yeah, this is why. All right, y'all ready? Let's just get into it. I'll share it. Joseph, how did you get here into slavery? Well, my dad gave me a coat of many colors. Right? Have y'all ever heard of the coat of many colors? I've heard preacher after preacher after preacher. Don't get mad at me if you know a preacher and you say, well, my dad was a preacher, my father was a preacher, my grandfather, my aunts, uncles, brother, cousin, everybody's a preacher. I know everybody I ever heard from, my whole time I ever been in preaching, that was wrong for him to do that, to give him that coat of many colors. He favored Joseph over the other 11 brothers. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have gave him. He favored him. And I was sitting there, man, all these years, I'm reading that book and I'm trying to find a place where God said, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have gave him that. Jacob, you messed up. You know what? It's not in there. You know what it was? I started pulling it apart and studying what this was. Yeah, I'm going to boil it down to Kevin Shelton common sense. It's a manager's jacket. It's the boss's coat. It had long sleeves, because he wouldn't need short sleeves. It had longer girdles on it where if you were in the field, the sleeves would get caught up around the sheep and the girdles would hinder you from carrying water and carrying feed and wrestling sheep. What it was, y'all, he was supposed to be in charge of the men, not the sheep. You know why? Because he loved the sheep. He loved the sheep. His daddy found out early in life that Joseph loved the sheep more than he loved anything else. And you know what he said? If he loves the sheep, then he'll look out for the sheep. And if he looks out for the sheep, and guess what? We'll all have food and clothes and shelter. Y'all got it? He said, one of my boys loves sheep more than he loves anything else. Y'all write this down. He has a heart for sheep. Amen? Now listen, I'm going to draw a conclusion. Have a heart for what God has a heart for. Amen? That will promote you faster in the kingdom of God than anything else. Not your qualifications, not your age, not when you were born, not how qualified you are, but your heart towards the things that God loves. If you love it, then God will promote you and put you involved in it. Amen? Golly, that's enough preaching right now to go home on. I'm serious. If you're a Christian and you're a leader and you're somebody who desires to help other people, get a heart after the thing God has a heart over. Amen? I look for it and look for it and look for it. In this Bible, I look for it. I'm like, I'm waiting for God to reprimand Jacob or reprimand Joseph, but he never does. And then I started thinking, but wait a minute. Ain't God the one who started all this? Esau and Jacob? He promoted the younger. Amen? Isn't it a type and shadow of Adam and Jesus? Amen? The younger is greater than the older, amen, because the older was disobedient. Amen? So why in the world would God be upset with something if he brought it to pass? Because I believe Joseph is a type and shadow of Jesus. And when Jesus came, guess what? They wouldn't go like him either. Because the first time Jesus ever preached, the first time Jesus ever taught, he came into the synagogue and he opened up the book of Isaiah and he began to teach, and the people in the synagogue looked at each other and said, this dude's talking like he's got some kind of authority. He ain't teaching like somebody who's telling you don't do this and do that. He ain't talking, God. He ain't preaching like somebody who thinks he knows. He's preaching with some authority, and people's hearts started turning. And you know what? The Pharisees and Sadducees, other people are like, this is wrong. This is wrong. He is. Who does he think? Then all of a sudden, go with me now. Think about this. They start running his qualifications. You are yet 30 years old or less, and here you are preaching and teaching. Who do you think you are? What school did you go to? Who did you sit under? We don't know you from anywhere. Next thing you know, we think you came from a little old town in Nazareth. Huh? Ain't nothing good comes out of there. Right? But there he is. Amen? So we see Joseph. Joseph was not, he ended up, I think about this all the time when I read about Joseph. His brothers hated him. Hated him for what? A coat of many colors? Telling their dad the boys are lying, they're not watching the sheep, they're down there in Dothan messing around with those girls instead of watching over the sheep. Yeah, that will get you killed. Amen? Oh. He was a little bit of a tattletale, I'll give him that. But he loved the sheep. He would rather, y'all might want to write this down, he'd rather get in trouble with the people. He'd rather get in trouble with his brothers. He'd rather get in trouble with people than he would not having the sheep took care of. I mean, he was upset. He'd look at the sheep. What are y'all doing with the sheep? Where are the sheep? Why ain't you doing something with the sheep? He'd come back to his dad. They ain't taking care of the sheep. Amen? Y'all good? How else did he get here? I thought about this. Here's another one. Here's another mystery. Of all the times I've been listening to preachers and I'll be honest with you, I've said it myself. You might want to write here. A lot of preachers say this: be careful who you tell your dream to. Be careful who you tell what God's told you to do. That's a little bit. There's some truth into that. But there's also this: if God tells you to tell it, you better tell it. If God tells you to say it, you better say it. Amen. Joseph, listen to this. He told his dream. And he said, hey, guess what? One day, your sheaves will bow down to my sheaves. Then he had another dream. He said, I'll tell you another dream. Mom, Dad, you're here. Guess what? I bowed down. You're like the moon and the sun. And all you, the whole galaxy bowed down to me. And they're like, what are you? Man, they hated him even more, right? Okay, I've scoured these scriptures. I've looked over them. And guess what? God never says, hey, you, Joseph, you should have kept that to yourself. You should have. You should have never told anybody about those dreams. It don't say that in here, ever. You know what it says to me? They had to have the dreams because when they all come true, he'd sit there and say, hey, remember? Remember when I was telling you and we were standing there and I said we had all the sheaves and your sheaves bent down to me? Guess what? You did. You did. And guess what? In the end, mom, dad, they all had to come. Y'all all had to come to me. And guess what? That's God's plan, not my plan. Listen, I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you this. If God's in your life in 2019, we don't need quieter Christians. We need louder ones. I'm telling you, we don't need people to say, "Well, we might not tell." People, the good news, they might get upset. They might do this. Yeah, they might get upset. They might. You might get in trouble. But guess what? I'd rather be in trouble for telling somebody the truth than hiding it in my heart, especially when God's saying, say it. But I had a good preacher friend that called me one time. He's like, I got this great message. I'm going to preach it tomorrow. He's like, what is it? He goes, it's where Joseph told that dream. He should have never done it. I'm sort of like, oh, no. All right, brother, I got to go. He's like, what do you think about it? And I'm thinking, I'm like, brother, I love you. But where does God ever get on to him for it? He don't. He said, yeah, but right after that, he gets sold into slavery. I know. Ain't it crazy? Because my next point is this. Look, you can get in more trouble for doing the will of God than you ever did for doing your own will. Y'all understand what I just said? I hope y'all write that down. I hope you remember it. Amen? If you do the will of God, you will get in trouble with more people, amen, than you would if you were doing something terribly wrong. Okay, let's just break. Can we break it down? I got time, right? Y'all don't hurt. It's Wednesday night. Let's break it down like this. How many brothers went down into Dothan and were spending money on alcohol and women? 11 out of 11. Amen. When Joseph came and found them, was there anybody with the sheep? When he came, he found the sheep. He found the sheep all over the pasture by themselves. He found a stranger. Golly, that'll preach. He found a stranger. Hey, these are my sheep. God, this is all. Can y'all see Jesus right here? Can y'all see him? These are my sheep. Where are the shepherds? They're out messing around. They're out spending their own time, money, and effort down there in town, chasing the world. That'll preach. You might, if y'all are preachers in here, you might want to steal that one and use it. It'd be a good one. Amen? He goes down there, right? He goes down there and finds every one of them. How many of those got in trouble? None of them. How many of them were upset because they had let down their father? How many of them were let down because they messed up? Nope, not one of them. Guess who got sold into the slavery? The guy who said, hey, you're taking our livelihood and you're putting it in danger. Amen? You're about to kill our whole family. Leaving the sheep up there unattended is a bad idea. You could cost us our whole lives out here. Amen? It's dangerous. Yeah, now we really got to kill him. Hey, do y'all remember when he came down to what they called him? When he started coming down the hill towards Dothan, they called him what? Dreamer. Jared's been reading. He's, hey, here comes that here comes that old dreamer. They called him by what he did for God, and they hated him for it. Amen. If you're going to be hated for something, be hated for what you do for God, not what you do for yourself. Amen. You'll get in more trouble in this world for serving God, especially as the time closes down. You're going to be called bigot. You're going to be called a hater. You're going to be called closed-minded. You're going to be called, all kinds of things, because you're going to say, what I read in this Bible says this is right, and what you are saying is right is not right. And they're going to call you all kinds of stuff. And you know what? You're going to feel insecure. You're going to feel insecure because everybody, there's going to be some people that say they go to church. They're going to say they're a part of the body of Christ. But when you get to those points, they'll say, no, but that's different. This is a different time and a different era. And you'll be like, whoa. And you know what? You're going to pop up, hopefully. You're going to pop up and you're going to say, I don't care how that much changes. That's wrong. Amen? Huh? That's wrong. And you know what? They're going to say, you need to get out of here. You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose people. People you thought were friends of yours a whole lot. Nope, they're going to be gone. Amen? I know it's Kevin, you came here Wednesday night to depress us. I just want you to know, as a leader, as a Christian, that there is the possibility that you can get in more trouble with God than you did in the real world and in living in sin. And that's a possibility. Amen? All right, so let's look at this last one. Joseph, your life's journey, if you're God's, it's crazy, but it's perfectly timed out. All right, I'll give you, okay, Ray, you're going to like this because you're a Navy guy, right? Now listen, I'm not a big fan of the Navy. I mean, I am. No, Ray, he's about to leave now. But I'm not saying I'm not a big fan of that. I'm just saying this. When we get in a fight, I was in the Marines. They gave us a ride over to fight. No, but I'm being honest with you. The Navy's amazing. It's good. I love all armed forces. I'm just giving more time. But one of my favorite things, and I know I'm kind of sick on this end of it, but one of the most favorite things to watch is when those ships shoot those Tomahawk cruise missiles. I don't know why. Don't get mad at me. That's just who I am. If something's happening and it's a we need a rightful action, you know, and it's setting off the coast of who knows where, who knows what, and it's sitting there and all of a sudden they go, you know, and they show the aircraft carrier or whatever it is, and all of a sudden, and you're sitting there going, that's some serious stuff. Because this thing's like 20 miles away, 120 miles, 300 miles, however far away it is, and they shoot them things, and they come up out of there, and they're gone. Because on the inside of that missile is a GPS system. And sometimes that missile is high, and sometimes it's low. And sometimes it's running here and there, but the whole time, it knows where the target's at. Y'all know, I'm preaching better than y'all are. Listen, it knows where the target's at. The thing that shot it knows what it's trying to hit, and everything in between is part of the journey. First song, part of the journey. Amen? Part of the journey is sometimes you're sitting there going, God, do you not know where you put me? Do you know what? You don't know what you're doing? Do you not know my crazy boss? Do you not know my crazy relatives? Do you not know? It seems like they got the upper hand. It seems like I'm out of control. Do you not see me, God? I mean, I did the right thing when nobody was looking. I did the right thing. I wish I could preach to y'all the way I wanted. Hey, when he was walking down into Dothan and all 11 of his brothers were down there, I promise you, his heart was in his throat. You don't like confrontation. He didn't either. He didn't want to walk down there and tell them they weren't doing right. But he loved the sheep more than he loved himself. And he's now suffering. He's suffering for doing the right thing. When he being honest, if you're being honest, he could have turned around, walked right by the sheep, went back home and probably said, hey, Dad, I just couldn't find them. Oh, that's all right. They're probably knuckleheads. They're probably out there doing something dumb anyway. Huh? But instead, he does the right thing every single time. He says the right stuff. You want to write this down? He says the right stuff. And he does the right stuff every time. And he's the one that's in trouble. And I don't know which one's more important. Sometimes it's more important to say the right thing, and sometimes it's more important to do the right thing. But they both need to go together. Amen? They both need to go together. Now, I love this. That's where he's at. Lord, why am I here? Why am I in this place? Let's answer some of those questions. Let's see what happens when he's in another position, when God's positioned this missile, this great man of God, in another position where, you know what? Hey, what are you going to do now? You're lonely, you're depressed, you're tired. You've got, man, you should have a whole bag full of resentments. Hello? Has anybody here got some resentments? No, you don't tell nobody about them. But I'm talking about a whole bag of when you really want to do something bad, you pull one out and say, they did that so I can do this. Huh? All right, good. We're on the right level now. They did this, so ha, I can do that. Well, guess what? Joseph's got more resentment bag than anybody else. Dad ain't looking for me. Mom ain't looking for me. Brother sold me into slavery. They're liars. They're thieves. And here I am. God, where's God? You know what I mean? And the Lord, look, verse 2. Y'all look at it. Y'all want to read it with me? Can y'all read it with me? And the Lord was with Joseph. Huh? Where was he at? And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Y'all want to write this down. The worst place he could be would be back up where he was without God being with him. The best place he could be was being a slave in Potiphar's house and God being with him. That's the difference. You see the difference? I'm in slavery, and guess who's with me? See, as long as God is with you, praise God, you can go through it. Amen? That presence, it's scary. When you deviate from God's plan, doing the right thing and saying the right thing, when you don't do that, then your plan deviates from God's plan. And guess what? Then you realize he's not there. But Joseph doesn't have that feeling. Amen? I can't explain it to you, but have you ever been in a real bad place, but you know God's still there with you? I mean, you could be crying your eyes out, your stomach can hurt, you can feel like you can't get up, you can't do nothing, but there's something there going, man, God's still in this thing. I mean, for some reason, I feel like God's still in this. It gets good. What's this? I know y'all have heard this a million times, but it's so good you got to see it, right? And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Who? Yeah, the slave owner. And it made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Wait a minute. God was all over him in slavery. After he's been rejected by his whole family. And God's like, man, I'll bless you so good. The person that's supposed to be your master slave owner will bless you. Man, that's so good. That's God. And I guarantee you those days he got up and was like, I wonder where God is. Why am I in here? You know, I've done it. You've done it. But guess what? There's God right there with him. And he just puts everything on him. What? Hey, listen. This goes back to the first point I made. God didn't have a problem with Jacob promoting him because everywhere Joseph goes, he gets promoted. Why? Because his heart never changes. His heart never changes. His location, his people that's around him that he's influencing change. His situation changes, but his heart never changes. So therefore, God keeps working in his life. Man, that's a good thing. Amen? And it came to pass from time to time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said unto him, lie with me. Be careful when everything starts to get back to normal and everything's going well and we're being blessed again and you're almost healed from the last craziness. Guess what happens next? Here comes the devil. Write this down. How did the devil come? How did the devil approach him? I wish I had hours and hours and hours to break this down to you. Joseph is a teenage boy. 13-year-old when he got sold into slavery. 13, 14, 15. He's about 14 to 15 to 16-year-old. Oh, never mind. Sold into slavery. He's got a job of authority and power. He is being prosperous beyond. Man, he's being so prosperous. Everything he does in the house and out of the house is prospering. Everybody's talking about him. The devil never comes with horns, pitchfork, and tail. Those items are always sold separately. Amen? They always come at a later time. He comes as the thing that you wanted the most. You might want to write that one down. The devil always comes as the thing that you want most. He is beautiful, attractive, seductive. He is the most beautiful thing. Man, if you ever study about who Satan was, he was beautiful. He made music when he walked. He shined like every beautiful gem in the whole world. I mean, every diamond, gold, carbuncle, all the gems, he would shine when he walked. He was so beautiful. He was the beautiful cherub. And that's how he comes to us. But he is wicked, and he is evil. And he comes to you, and you know what? Sometimes he comes in such a way that you're sitting there going, man, that was abrupt. She didn't make small talk. She didn't say, you're handsome. Hey, Jewish man, how are you? How was it up there? Hey, let's go lay together. Wow. I know it's hard to we're in church, but I'm just saying, God, that would be so, oh, you could think of everything. You know, I deserve this. Here I am down here by myself. I deserve this, right? Verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not. He don't know what. He has no idea what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. This is where I'm going to stop, I promise. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Who? He starts out talking about Potiphar. And he ends up with God. Amen? He starts listing, I have been given this, I have been given that, I am the most powerful man in this room. You start to see a little, you almost see a hint of problem, but it's not there. Because then he says, right, I have been given everything but you. Amen? Golly, I wish I could take my brain out because I can't explain this sometimes the way I want to. He told you in the fibers of what he said, y'all got to get this. In the fibers of what he said, he told you what he was struggling with. He gave me the power. I have the power of everything in this house but you. And why would I do that and sin against God? God, y'all get this. Y'all got to get this. What he was saying is, I can handle the power. I can handle the authority. I'm used to that. But you're something different. I got to let God handle that. I got to remind myself, when I look at you, that I've got authority over some things, but God's got authority over all things. I got to go. Amen? This is not for me. Ain't that good? Ain't that neat? How he started out over here talking about, I've got this, but hey, God's got this. I've got to live before God. That tells you everything about who Joseph is. He is still a God-positioned system. He is still guided by God, even though the missile has took a downturn and is going under the subterranean level. Amen? If you live down in Dunlap every once in a while, down in that big valley, the helicopters and jets will drop down in that valley and fly down there for a while, right? And they'll shake the roofs of your house. Them big C1, them C10s or whatever they are. You can almost feel like you can almost touch them. What they do is they try to get down there and they mass the terrain to stay low. And they come up out there. Sometimes the missile, God puts you really low. And you're riding down there in that terrain. And it's a mess down there. You're like, man, why can't we get high, Lord? Why can't we get way up there and fly like the eagles, right? Why you got me down here with the chickens, right? Well, sometimes God has got to let you go through the low parts to make you who you are. Amen? He's got a plan. He's working it out. But he's also showing you, no matter where you go, you can serve God. Amen? I'd like to tell you, Potiphar's wife, it don't ever give her name. One thing I love about her, she don't ever give up, man. She don't ever give up. You say, why do you love? Because she's just like the devil. One day you can be the strongest Christian in the world. No way. Not doing it. No devil. Not here. Not now. Not ever. But 3 days from now, when you've worked real hard, boss has made you mad, kids have driven you crazy, wife's got you going crazy, he might come back by. Hey, what about now? Well, now is a different story, right? Now is not a different. I just didn't come out of Bible study. I didn't just come out of church. I didn't do this. I just came home from work. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. Right? She came back from day after day after day. You know what he ended up doing? He ended up running. Let's all stand. Scott, come on. You know what he did one day? She said, this is it. Game over. You're mine. Sometimes the devil, he stops playing around, and she grabbed him, and he ran straight out of the coat that he was wearing. Amen? Coat number two down, right? Ripped that coat straight off of him. You know what he did? He ran out of there as fast as he can. What does that look like to you? It looks like a little kid to me. You know what I'm saying? It does. Running from a girl. You know what it is? You know what it looks like to God? Smartest man on the planet. Resist the devil and he must flee. You got to resist. Sometimes you just got to run. I'm talking run out. I'll share this story. And it's one of my favorite stories of me and Peyton. Peyton's going, y'all probably heard this. Some of you have heard it. Me and Peyton, you know, we'd sit around and talk. We're buddies somewhat. I still give him a whooping from time to time, but I just want you to think I'm not a punk daddy. Hey, I've got the authority over him still, but we get along really well. We just laugh about stuff, carry on right down the road. Well, one time we was sitting there and we're going through the channels and we ended up on a MMA, mixed martial arts. I'm not a big MMA guy, but I ended up there and he goes, oh. And all of a sudden, the guys square off in the middle of the ring, and they're punching each other and this and that and the other. And I'm like, man, this is all. I was trying to turn the channel as fast as I could because here he was, you know, 7, 8 years old. And I'm thinking, man, I'm ruining this kid, you know what I'm saying? And if he tells his mama, then I'm in trouble, you know. So I'm trying to get out of the channel. And he said, "Daddy, did you see that?" I said, "What?" He said, "Man, they was hitting each other." And I was like, "Yeah, they was." He's like, he goes, "And they was in a cage." And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know what I'd do?" And I was like, "No, what would you do?" He said, "If I was in there and they rung that bell, I'd jump over that cage and run like crazy. I wouldn't let that guy catch me." I said, "That's pretty smart, Peyton." I've been telling this ever since then. I wish there would have been times in my life where I hadn't stayed in the ring. I wish I'd have jumped the cage and ran off. And maybe as I was leaving the arena, I would have turned around and said, "Hey, Jesus, will you go in there and fight that fight? Because I don't belong in that ring. Will you get in there for me and fight? Because I can't fight my own battle. I'm just going to jump the cage and I'm going to flee. I'm going to resist. And I think you can handle him." And that's how you fight him sometimes. Especially the things that you struggle with. You don't handle them by sitting around them. You don't handle them by sitting there looking at them. You don't handle them by going, "Man, I think I'm strong enough to go back again and see it." Here's how you handle them. You stay away from it. I know that's old-fashioned preaching, but old-fashioned preaching sometimes just works. Amen? Just works. As they sing a song of invitation.